Tim will be referring to all of the verses on the back of the devotional. I want to read just one, the one he's asked me to talk about. Jeremiah 24:7. First, I'll read it from the Holman's, which is on the back of the devotional. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh. They will be my people, and I will be their God, because they will return to me with all their heart. And in our discussion of this yesterday, I read this to Tim from my Jewish Study Bible, which I really enjoy. And he asked for me to read it to you from that version. Jeremiah 24:7. And I will give them the understanding to acknowledge me, for I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, when they turn back to me with all their heart. And the note beside that verse says this: God promises to give the exiles understanding to know him, literally, a heart to know him. And so our discussion then about this verse moved to the concept that we've been talking about here at Newville, which is about love. And it coincides with our discussion this morning in our Sunday school class. And so I want to just give you some thoughts to go along with that. We've been talking about the fact that there is a kind of a historical drift that wasn't intended by anyone, but that has happened in that we don't think about Jesus in the way that we can. We don't think about the kingdom in its fullness. We don't allow it to grasp us. We don't allow it to, Lula's good word, consume us. We had a good discussion about that. But we need to understand that the New Testament revelation of Jesus, God in Jesus, is this: the love of God is like no love known among humanity. So the love of God is something very, very unique, and we need to regain that understanding of its power and its might and its infiniteness. We're still studying Dallas Willard. We're studying about a curriculum for Christ-likeness. And Dallas has said, once you come to know the love of Jesus, nothing else will ever seem so beautiful to you again. And then this thought that kind of grabbed us, that the need that an individual has to love is surpassed, really. Okay, let me say this. Try it again. The need that an individual has to love is much deeper even than the need to be loved. That was our discussion this morning. Think about that. The need to love is deeper than the need to be loved. So if the understanding of God that brings a devotion to him is a gift, we ought to embrace that gift, because that understanding is a gift that enables us to love him. And I'll read one more quote that goes along with this, that we need to understand who God is so that we can present him to others in such a way that he is loved. The acid test for any theology is this: is the God presented one that can be loved, heart, soul, mind, and strength? If the thoughtful, honest answer is, not really, then we need to look elsewhere or deeper. It does not really matter how sophisticated intellectually or doctrinally our approach is, if it fails to set a lovable God, a radiant, happy, friendly, accessible, and totally competent being before ordinary people, which I am one, we have gone wrong. We should not keep going on in the same direction, but turn around and take another road. And so I think the things that Tim is talking about in regard to love, our love of God, it is a gift, and I think in some ways our little church has turned around and taken that new road, and I'm excited about that.
Thank you, Teresa. We'll look at some verses this morning together. We will not be able to, we're running late here on our time because We did some other things this morning. And also, I know that this message has to really have some coordination to it. So we'll just look at a couple of verses today. And I asked Teresa yesterday, should I assume that everyone who attends Newville is what I call in the covenantal family? Should I assume that everyone here today is saved? And I think that would not be a fair assumption. I have to assume that that's not the case. And I also have to assume that maybe we don't even know, maybe you don't know what it means to be saved. Love for God is genuine saving faith, and genuine saving faith means you will love God. They are coterminous. In other words, they're interchangeable. Scripture is replete with this message that those who have genuine saving faith have a particular characteristic, and that characteristic that they all have, they all share, regardless of background, socioeconomic, race, no matter what, they all have this characteristic that they share. They all, with one voice, in unison, say that they love God. That's what it means to have genuine saving faith. Do you say that today? Can you say that? God has so wired his universe that our love of him, our love for him, is the woof and the warp that runs his world. That's the energy. That's what we're to employ in order to run his world. Adam was given that mandate. The first Adam was told, run my world, you're equipped to do it if you love, adore, and worship me. That's the only equipping that you need. Now you and I need equipping in order to transform our particular environments. Adam failed. Adam failed in that mandate. But the second Adam, who's the second Adam? Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul calls him the second Adam. The second Adam comes along and he's given the same mandate. Run my world. Tend my garden. Work it and watch over it. And the second Adam succeeds. He does it. What did the second Adam have without measure that the first Adam didn't have? And it is a love, adoration, and worship of God. Do you have genuine saving faith? The way you answer that, the way you know that is, do you love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength? So the questions that we are going to answer on this is, number one, how do you get this love of and for God? How do you get it? Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you can't honestly say you have it. Well then, how do you get it? And number two, how do you know you have it? Number three, what is the purpose for you to have a deep love and attraction for God? And then number four, and this is where the enemy comes. Number four, can you lose it? Can you lose that love of and for God, which would mean, can you lose your salvation? So, again, number one, how do you get this love of and for God? Number two, how do you know you have it for certain? Number three, what's the purpose of your love for God? And number four, can you lose this love? And what we'll take on today is just the number one. How do you get this love for God? And we'll turn to the verses on the back of your devotional to help us ferret this out. And the first verse we're going to look at is 1 John 4:7. 1 John 4:7. Well, how do you get it? Here's something you might want to write down. I'm all about these three-word things, in case you haven't noticed, the trilogy of words. It really helps me. How do you get this love of and for God? Here's what I wrote down. Maybe you write it down. Born, know, and love. Born, know, and love. That's how you get this love of and for God. Did you notice the quote inside your devotional? Let's all look at that together. See that? St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas said, love follows knowledge. Love follows knowledge. Let me give you a personal example about that. The more I know my wife, the more I know who she is, the more I know about her, I find my love for her also keeping pace with that increased knowledge. The more I know her, the more I love her. It's the same with God. The more you know him, the more you love him. Born, know, love. So how do you get this love of and for God? God enables it with our cooperation. This theology is right to the heart of the gospel. And maybe you need this today. Because maybe you don't really can say, you know, Tim, I don't know that I really have a deep love for God, and it kind of concerns me, and I'm wondering about it. And because if you're saying that love for God is the same as being saved, and I look at my love meter for God and it's not that high, then I might have a concern about whether I'm saved or not. And I think that's a fair question, and I think that's something that we have to tackle head on. God enables this love for him with our cooperation. So, 1 John 4:7. Let's just unpack that verse today. Love, John says, is from God. Make it eminently clear in your minds, John is talking about a specific love here. We do not proof text when we read Scripture. We don't take it out of context. John's first letter is about a specific kind of love toward a specific being, and that is toward God and for God. And John says throughout that letter, his theme is this: if you love God, you will, as a corollary, love others. So the love that is from God, John, when he talks about here, is love for God, first of all. Love, he says, love for God is from God. Interesting. You see, God can't leave this to chance. God can't leave the running of his universe to chance. And the way his universe is run correctly is through beings who love, adore, and worship him. So God is not going to just leave that to chance. He's going to ensure it. He's going to enable it. He's going to make sure that you, his men and his women, love him with all of your heart, your soul, and your strength. It's from God. Love is from God. Love of God is from God. Love for others is from God. This is the specific love that John's talking about. And to go on with that, and everyone who loves, again, specifically, everyone who loves God, and everyone, therefore, who loves others, stay in context, John says, it shows something about them. John says, if they love God, and therefore, and if they love others, John says, I know two things about them. Two things have happened to them. What has happened? Look here, read that with me. 1 John 4:7. What two things have happened to these people that results in them loving supremely God and then loving others? Who wants to answer that? What two things have happened? John says, here's what's happened to them. What is it?
Born.
Good. Born what? Right. John says, here's two things that have happened to them. They've been born of God, and they know God. And John says, and I know that has happened to them because the evidence is, the external evidence is, that they love God and they love others. So there's been something that has occurred in their lives. And that love that they have is from God. Born, know, and love. God enables with our cooperation. Well, what does it mean to be born of God? Here we get salvific. Here we examine ourselves. Are you in the covenantal family? Do you have genuine saving faith? And that is a question that we had better get straight, because your eternal destiny depends on this. How is this process? How are you born of God? Jeremiah 24:7. You know, I couldn't sleep, was it two nights ago? I couldn't sleep, and I just, Teresa says, what's the problem? I said, I'm dreaming about Jeremiah 24-7. That kind of weird stuff happens to me. And so I had to get up. I had to get up, and I go down to the kitchen, and I have my notes always there. Teresa calls them my sheets of papers all spread out there. So I go down there, it was about 2 a.m., on a Friday late, and I went down and I wrote down what I was dreaming about, Jeremiah 24-7. And I've realized this is what it means to be born of God, Jeremiah 24-7. Jeremiah, God says through Jeremiah, because God's not going to leave your love for him to chance. God's going to enable it. God's going to ensure it. God's going to make it happen. If you don't love God with all your heart, you know what you should do? Ask him. If it's not your driving force in life, ask him. Because he will give it to you. God says, I will give them. Notice very carefully what he's going to give us. A heart to know me. What does it mean to be born of God? Well, Jeremiah answers. God says, I'll do it. I'll give you a heart to know me. Well, to know what about you? What is this? See, God gives you and me a knowing heart. And what do we know? What does this heart know? Look at that. That I am Yahweh. Oh, that is so important. God gives us a heart, a knowing heart, and this heart knows something about God, and what this heart that God gives us knows is that he is Yahweh. We can't change that. We can't alter it. We can't make that what we want it to be. The knowing heart knows one thing about him, that he is the creator covenant God. He is the sovereign. He is the supreme being, Mark Twain said. God made man in his own image, and then man returned the favor. Do you get that? Is that not true? That now we make God in the image that we think he should be. Oh, I know you look through Scripture, and I've heard Scripture attacked on these, that God can be vengeful, God can be jealous, God can be bloodthirsty, God can have wrath, and someone looks at that and they say, well, I can't serve a God like that. I know nothing of a God like that. And I would say back to them, yeah, you're absolutely right, because that kind of God that you want doesn't exist. This knowing heart that he gives us knows something about God, and what it knows is that he's Yahweh and all that that entails. God gives it. As a result of this, as a result of this knowing heart, what kind of relationship are you going to have? They will be my people, and I will be their God. They will be my people, and I will be their God, because these are the parameters in order to have this kind of relationship where he's our God and we're his people. The parameter there is that we have to know who he is and we have to accept who we are. That he's Yahweh, he's God, we're not. He's sovereign, we're not. And when that is dropped into our hearts by him, he gives us that, a heart that knows that. This relationship is established. It creates this relationship where there'll be my people and I'll be their God. And that cannot happen unless we have this gift of a knowing heart from God himself. How do you love God? It's a gift. It's a gift from God. Little Rosebud last week came upstairs and she always hands me what she makes down in their little class down there, and came up and handed it to me, and it was the Galatians verse, the fruits of the Spirit. And right at the top of that list, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not something that you can muster up. You cannot. You are incapable of loving God with all of your heart, your soul, and your strength. You can't do it. It is a gift of God, and it is given to us with a knowing heart, because when we know God, when our hearts know him, it results in, look what Jeremiah says it results in at the end of that verse. They'll return to me. They'll return to me how? They'll return to me with all of their heart. The Shema is answered. The Shema, the command of God that we love him with all of our heart, is answered by God himself. And when they return to me with all of their heart, you know, the title of today's message is Acknowledging Knowledge of God. How do you acknowledge your knowledge of God? You return to him with all of your heart. And when you do that, it creates the relationship in which God can then use you to impact his world. And the weapon that you use to impact his world is a knowing heart that also loves him supremely, and that spills out of you in 1,000 different ways. They'll demonstrate. How do you demonstrate this knowing heart? You return. You return to him. You return with all of your heart. God enables, you see this, God enables with our cooperation and the acknowledgement from us that this has happened, the acknowledgement that spills out of you and out of me, that is palpable and seen by others, is our love, adoration, and worship of God. And let me tell you, the enemy will do everything he can to get between you and me and my love for and of God and your love of and for God. Because the minute he does that, we become ineffective in God's world to bring healing, renovation, restoration, transformation. We become ineffective in God's world to fix what needs to be fixed. How do you get it? Born, know, and love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless these words, that you would bring us to a saving knowledge of you, that you would give us this knowing heart that results in our deep love for you. Amen.